The latest news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest, Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, I talk to Beth Lincoln. Beth is a family and women's health nurse practitioner in Northern California and is also the current president of the Transcultural Nursing Society. I talk with her about the importance of cultural awareness in healthcare. Check it out. Beth, welcome to Nursing Notes Live. It's great to have you here on the show this week. And I'd like to just ask you a little bit about why you became a nurse and a little bit about your background.
Now, that's interesting. I think if you asked anybody that question, you would get this whole diverse response from them. Actually, I became a nurse because, and I've been one for a long, long time. I actually graduated from a diploma school. And I became a nurse because I really, when I graduated from high school, wanted to go down to San Francisco and get a job. And my mom and dad wanted me to go to college. And so my dad said, well, I think you'd make a great nurse. And my mother goes, no, she wouldn't. He goes, yes, she would. So I applied to one school and got in. And the rest is history. And of course, it's just been an integral part of my whole life from the very beginning. And finding those niches that work for nurses, you know, as we get through our nursing program and we come out, we realize, well, I can work in pediatrics or I could do OB or ER. You know, the world is your oyster. You could travel. There's so much you can do. And I think that that was one of the things that intrigued me about nursing was I could go anywhere and I could work anywhere. And I, you know, I think I could make a difference taking that experience and bringing it to any new arena that I happen to come into. So that's why I became a nurse.
And tell us a little bit about what areas you worked in as you kind of went through your career.
Well, initially, I wanted to do obstetrics, and I wanted to do postpartum. And when I started, they said, oh, well, we really need someone in labor and delivery. Could you help us out and just learn that area, which is not something I ever wanted to do? But that became actually my forte. And I worked in Oakland at Providence College of Nursing. And, of course, in that area, we had a very diverse population that we drew from the city, San Francisco, from Oakland, and the surrounding areas. So many of my patients already back then came from different ethnic groups. And I remember seeing some things that were very unique. Like one of my patients was Chinese American. She was a social worker, and she was in labor, and her mother was with her. And, you know, we had a conversation throughout the whole labor, and then she got to transition, and she reverted right back to Chinese and couldn't understand a word I was saying. And so it was her mother who had to interpret, because when we're under stress, it's hard for us to remember or lay down memory, and so we're going to go back to what we know as the familiar, and that's exactly what she did. And that was my first aha moment of, oh, this is different. Or sometimes my Mexican-American patients who came in were much more vocal, or my African-American patients much more vocal during labor. And so you had to understand that was their way of expressing pain and not to be too reactionary, but at the same time, you know, to be supportive. And so you really realize just in that small venue that people were presenting really based on their understanding, they wouldn't say that way, of their culture. But this is my response to pregnancy. This is my response to labor and delivery, and even in postpartum. And so as nurses, we had to be very attentive to those nuances of changes and be cautious not to kind of thrust our nursing on them, like, oh, you should do this or you should do that. Well, really, it's not within our realm, like breastfeeding. And you say, well, you should start breastfeeding right away. Well, in the Mexican culture, it's really thought that the milk is considered unclean or dirty, and so you don't breastfeed for 3 days. Very similar with the Chinese culture. So you have to be aware of those things. So that was my early on days of doing that. And then lived in Wisconsin for a number of years in Milwaukee, and so it was that same kind of ethnic diversity that I dealt with, but also people coming from down south who would be coming up and moving to the Milwaukee area, especially African Americans. And again, a very different approach than those who had lived in Milwaukee, you know, for 15, 20, 30 years. So I think that's it's just this awareness of different perspectives and how could I meet your needs if we're doing that?
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we transitioned to talking a little bit about cultural awareness in nursing, because one of the reasons we have you on this week is to talk about the Transcultural Nursing Society. You're the president of that organization. And I think, you know, based upon what you're saying and based upon what I believe, and hopefully everyone listening believes, that we need to really be integrating cultural awareness questions and assessment techniques into our everyday dealings with our patients.
Exactly. And, you know, the mission of the Transcultural Nursing Society, we really want to enhance that quality of culturally congruent, competent, and equitable care, because we know that when we do that, it results in improved health and well-being for the people that we take care of. And cultural assessment is an integral part of taking care of somebody, because you're taking care of that person, but you're also taking care of their family and their extended family, and it relates back to the community. And so by acknowledging that we all have a different culture, we all have a different perspective, where do I find common ground with you? So I know I have a culture and you have one, but where do we find common ground? And when you find common ground, that's when you can help develop a plan of care that, as Dr. Leininger, who is the founder of Transculture, said, the care that fits with and is beneficial not only to the patient, but to the family and to the greater community. And you know, I hear sometimes, certainly when I'm teaching transcultural nursing and I have my students do a cultural assessment on each other and then they have to go outside and do it on someone else, and they understand the value of that and say, well, now I'm going to start using it on my patient. And what we find sometimes in that hospital environment, people say, well, I don't have time to do a I don't have time to do a cultural assessment. And I say, but oh, you do. I mean, how many times do you encounter that patient during your shift? It could be 4 times, 6 times, 8 times. And every time you encounter, whether you're passing a medication or doing a treatment, you can ask another question. Oh, I notice on your table next to your bed that you have a Quran. It must be very important to you at a time of being ill right now. And starting that conversation up, noticing what they say, noticing what's in the room, noticing the people who are there to support them during that time. So a cultural assessment is observation, it's asking questions, and then it's putting it into a plan of care that fits for that patient and their family and the community, and also ensures good health outcomes. Because as you know, when we look at healthcare disparities today, they are so broadly diverse. If you're, you know, if you're Native American or African American or Latino, you are much more likely to have diabetes than any other ethnic group, 2 to 3 times more. And if you're Native American, you're like 20% more likely to have end-stage renal disease, amputation, and the statistics go on and on. And it really, when you read those, you recognize that especially the most vulnerable of the population or persons of color, the healthcare disparities are blatant. And so when you look at transcultural care and congruency and competence, and you say, well, let me do an assessment. Let me understand the family roles and responsibilities. I see that it's really important that your mother is here the whole time you're in the hospital. In what ways can I support your mother? You know, we know that that's important. We're going to develop a plan of care. Let's do it together. I'm not going to make a plan of care for you. I need to hear from you about how we do this. And then really important question that I always ask is, how are decisions made in your family? Not who makes the decisions. I want to know how are the decisions made, because I'm looking at the patient and I'm expecting her or him to say, well, I can decide this or I can decide that. And many times with my patients, they'll say, well, I have to talk to my father first. And this is someone who's 27 years old. But you see, you have to ask the question, because if you want your plan to work, if you want your patient to get better, that's what you're called to do, is to observe, listen, and ask questions.
And, you know, it's interesting because I remember when I was in nursing school and there was a unit on cultural awareness in our program. And for a little bit after that in my clinicals, I was thinking about it. And I guess I got a little bit of paralysis by analysis. I was afraid I was going to step on some cultural line and make a mistake. And is that something that you help people deal with?
Exactly, because I think the way you help people deal with that, or, you know, if I'm looking at other nursing students, it's that to let them know that you may not feel comfortable, or you may create the great faux pas and shake somebody's hand when you shouldn't. And if you had watched their body language, they never extended their hand. You know, that those little nuances. But it is in those times that you learn. You gain experience, you gain knowledge, and then, you know, nurses are famous for going and chatting with other nurses and other people, and so they're going to tell their story to someone else, and that person's going, I didn't know that, and then they're going to share it with somebody else, and it's really in sharing our stories that we learn so much from someone else. So yes, you won't always feel competent, but I remember one time I attended this one conference, and it was a woman who was presenting on the Mexican-American patient, and she was great. I mean, it was a very casual conference. It wasn't one of these real big, intense ones, but she said, look, when you don't do it well or something goes wrong, she says, you put your hand over your heart, and you go, lo siento, because that means, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to screw it up like that, you know, and it was just something that has stayed with me, and especially because as a nurse practitioner, I have a large Mexican-American population, and many of them only speak Spanish, and I do speak some Spanish, so it works well, but I am real good at saying lo siento because I don't always get it right, and I think we can never get it right, but we still have to keep asking the questions and becoming more comfortable with the dialogue. As you know, the more you do something as a nurse, the more comfortable you are doing it. So the more often you do cultural assessments, the more it's going to become kind of second nature, and you're going to be able to just ask those questions as you're passing meds or doing treatments and then coming back and incorporating them on the chart and then letting that person know when you do a shift report, I just want to share with you some of the things that I learned about this patient today. You know, and that's what nurses are good at.
What does it mean for a nurse if they want to find out more about getting involved with the Transcultural Nursing Society? Is this an organization that you think that every nurse should be familiar with at least, or is it something that people can have to be a specialized transcultural nurse to be a part of?
No, I think anybody can be. You know, certainly can apply for membership in it. For myself, it was when I was in my master's program at University of California, San Francisco, and I was getting my master's and my nurse practitioner, and I was doing my thesis on providing culturally sensitive care to the Mexican-American woman. And that's when I learned about Dr. Leininger, who actually started this Transcultural Nursing Society in 1974. And her goal then was to bring people who were interested in that field, you know, who wanted to know more. And so the goal initially was really to do a lot of research and to say, well, what what do I need to know, what do I need to do in order to provide culturally competent care to the Hmong population or the Vietnamese or someone with PTSD or in the prisons or the deaf community? What do I need to know? And so a lot of research was done early on, and it's now really transitioning into a clinical arena, you know, and what's exciting about this organization is, one, it's extremely welcoming. My very first time going was in Toronto about 17, 18 years ago. And I remember going, and I went by myself because I just wanted to know what they were about. And I looked out at this diverse group of people from Africa and Sweden and Louisiana and Canada and Mexico and Panama and the Philippines. And it's like nurses and social workers and caregivers from around the world who were there to learn. And so each of your breakout sessions would be, someone would be presenting their research. So you'd walk away from that, really being able to take it back and use it not only in your clinical practice, but also if you're in academia, in your academic practice too, to make sure that they get this information. So I would say transcultural nursing is something like, come and visit us. Actually, our next conference that we have coming up is in New Orleans in October 18th to the 21st this year. And we've got some great speakers and we've got some great research. And I think it is, you don't have to be an expert to be a participant. You have to be interested. And for me, I was interested, and I made really good new friends. And the second time I went, they said, oh, you should go for certification. And it's like, oh, I can't do that. And she's, no, you can. So I studied for the year, and the following year I went and applied for certification and did the interview and the testing. And, you know, everything is incremental. You don't have to be the expert, but you have to have the desire. And if you have the desire, you know, it's going to take you to new places. And I think that's the essence of nursing. It's like when you have a desire to do anything in nursing, it's going to take you to a new place. And when you think about it, the end result is that the people you take care of, the people you interact with, are going to be better because you were there and because you cared. And just incorporating culture into your assessment is going to make a world of difference.
And when I think about that, and I think about the different facilities where our audience, our nurses and our nursing students are working out there, it occurs to me that often, if there could be a champion for cultural awareness in a facility or on a unit, that often that can make a big difference to the care across the unit. So is there a piece of advice you'd offer to someone that maybe feels like they could be that champion?
Well, I think, yeah, there's a couple of things. First, you start the dialogue. If, depending whether you're in management or you're in the clinical area in the department, but to start the conversation going at a staff meeting. Like, you know, I've heard about this organization, or I've heard about transcultural nursing, and I'd like us to kind of talk about how we could work that into our care plan or work that into our standards of care and practice. And, you know, you start the dialogue going. What I have, and from that, and that person who wants to champion that has got to be the voice. And if they can get others who say, yes, that really does make a difference, and then get it to administration. Because what I have found, certainly in my seminar presentations across the country, is when administration values it, then it will get done. And so to that person who's maybe talking about it on a unit level or in the director meeting, what is the mission and values of your institution? And how do you align transcultural care, culturally competent care, into that mission? Okay? And when you can kind of name that, that's when you can go to administration and say, you know, this is part of our mission and values. And this is a component that I don't think we're addressing, and I think it fits right in with whatever they can identify there, and that we need to start the dialogue about how can we incorporate it. Because the other thing is, if a person is going to do it on the unit level or the director, they know that Joint Commission requires that a hospital address the cultural background of their patients. and in order to meet their needs. They need to be culturally aware, and it's right there in the guidelines. Or if someone, or if a hospital wants to go for magnet status, magnet recognition, they have to show cultural awareness and competence and education for their staff. So there's lots of things that they can point out to administration to say, here it is, we need to do this, and be willing to kind of step forward and say, let's try it. And that may be as simple as doing a kind of a general presentation on a case. You know, like, we had this Chinese American patient come in, and this is what happened, and this is what we did, and how could we have done it better? So, you know, the other thing is, if you have a mini seminar that does case presentations, nurses will flock to that. So will social workers, pastoral care, anybody who's in that hospital environment, because you're telling a story. And I want to hear the story, and I want to know what I can do to make a difference. So it's, tell me the story, show me how I can make it applicable to what I do on an everyday basis, and we can make a difference in this hospital. And the other thing is, that's why magnet recognition looks at that too, because their whole thing looking at turnover rate and insurance companies that cover that area and physicians who come and work in that area, it's because it's a low turnover and everybody's working together and collaboratively. So this fits in with any hospital environment, but go to your mission and values and then take it to administration and say, we need to start addressing this, and how can you help me do that?
Final question for you, Beth, and it has to do with just that individual bedside nurse. What can they do right now to be more aware and a better advocate as a culturally aware nurse for their patients?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I go back to the first thing is to be observant of what they see when they walk in that room. What are the things on the bedside table? Who are the people who are visiting? Do you notice that when you're bringing in the food, they don't eat anything? And why is that? Is it kosher, or is it because the theory of hot and cold, the yin and yang, and the food should balance out, and it's not. But the point is, you make an observation, and then you make a comment. I noticed that you haven't really been eating this food. Is there something that we need to know about your food preferences that maybe we're missing? Or you notice that they're not taking the shower that you're saying. I noticed that I've given you towels, but you aren't going into the shower, and I noticed that your mother is helping you here to bathe. You know, so you just cite your observations and hear, and then pause. Don't editorialize. Pause and let them share back with you. One of the things that we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to answer the question before the patient even has a chance to do it. So at that clinical bedside, observe, ask the question, pause, take in the answer, and incorporate it into the plan of care. And then let the next shift, if you're in that hospital environment, let that next shift know the difference that it made. That, oh, it seemed like the patient was much more cooperative today because their mother stayed in the room with them the whole time and I never asked her to leave. You know, so I think that's a key.
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon, and check out our other episode this month where we feature a panel discussion on school nursing with Nina Fakaris and Barbara Parker. Nina is the president of the National Association of School Nurses, NASN, and has been a school nurse in the Beaverton School District in Oregon for 27 years. Barbara is the coordinator of health services in Oakland Unified School District. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.